Now, I don't know how you've started your bank holiday Sunday. Maybe you've enjoyed a nice long lie. Maybe you've been tucking into some Easter eggs already. Don't see any chocolate in anybody's faces. Or even, there's so much to remember this morning as well, maybe you've had a few pranks either played on you or you've tried, anyone tried a few pranks at home? It's April Fool's Day after all, come on. Hannah and Amelia, you've been busy playing pranks, excellent. And Noah, not surprised. Well, just in case you missed out, here's an April Fool's prank that was played and appeared on the Fox News website a couple of years ago. So let's have a look at that.
Okay, your dream's answered. Welcome, the world's first app that actually lets you taste and smell things right on your phone.
Okay.
Check this out. This is wild. It's called Virtual Sip, and creators found a way to emit the odors, and the flavors right out of a smartphone. Now, to do this, scientists had to use a technology called piezoelectrics. They're materials capable of turning mechanical energy into usable energy, recognizable, of course, by the senses. And I got the free version on my phone.
Wait, are they licking their phone?
Yeah, dude, check it out. Okay, so you open it. So you open it up.
Right. You want me to lick the...
Read the directions.
Oh, read the directions. Press smell button and let the glass fill.
It's awesome. Check it out.
Hold phone.
You smell it?
Nope.
Do the licking part where you can taste it.
I am not licking an iPad.
Lick it. Come on.
Is that a joke?
Show what it said.
I'm not talking to you. You made an April Fool's joke on me. I'm not talking to you. No, that's not very nice.
It's a good joke, isn't it? Particularly when it's broadcast to the nation. What makes a good April Fool's joke, though, is that you take something totally unbelievable and make it sound really convincing. And then once you've been sucked in, you really just feel very silly for not seeing it in the first place. That's a good April Fool's joke, isn't it? And over the last 2,000 years, people have read Jesus' biography by Mark in the Bible and come to the end of it wondering whether what happens there is not just another trick, whether it's not just another April Fool's joke like the one we've been watching. You see, at the end of the book of Mark, and we're going to read it in a few minutes, we're told, remarkably, that someone who was killed brutally on a cross has come back from the dead. And it leaves the reader with a stunning question. Did it happen? Was it real? I'll hand over to Elise.
Well, ever since the first Sunday, many people have come up with different explanations for what happened on that day. Some reckon that the body was just stolen by the disciples so they could show that Jesus was risen from the dead. Others think the Romans might have been stupid enough to guard the wrong tomb. But as you read all the stories of Jesus' life and death and resurrection, you begin to realise that these things can't explain the actual facts. Recently, Philip Pullman, the popular children's author, he wrote a book, and in it, he described the life of Jesus, and he talked about the good man Jesus and the scoundrel Christ. And he says that Jesus and Christ were twins. And Jesus was the good man who did all the good things, and he died on the cross. And then after he died, then the Christ pops up, the scoundrel, the bad man, and pretended to be Jesus. But the Bible clearly gives us four authentic accounts of this one man Jesus. And when you look at Philip Pullman's reasonings, you realise that it is pretty fake.
So this morning, we're going to look again at the facts of the resurrection in the account of Mark, as it was written 2,000 years ago. And I want us to once again realise how real the resurrection is. It's not a made-up story, nor is it an awkward explanation of things that are hard to understand. No. This is a true historical account
of what happened that first Easter morning. And what I hope is that by looking at this event once more, we can see the challenge fresh and real today as it was then. And we're going to see three real things that this account will thrill us with. Three things that will amaze us. Three things that will challenge us this morning. So we're going to read from Mark chapter 16, verse 1 to 8. And ironically, I don't have a Bible up here.
Oh, yeah.
There we go. Mark chapter 16, verse 1 to 8. So if you've got one of these Bibles, it's on page 1024. So this is what Mark writes. When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome brought spices so that they might go to anoint Jesus' body. Very early on the first day of the week, just after sunrise, they were on their way to the tomb, and they asked each other, "Who will roll the stone away from the entrance to the tomb?" But when they looked up, they saw that the stone, which was very large, had been rolled away. As they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in a white robe sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. "Don't be alarmed," he said. "You are looking for Jesus the Nazarene, who was crucified. He has risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him. But go, tell his disciples and Peter, he is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you." Trembling and bewildered, the women went out and fled from the tomb. They said nothing to anyone because they were afraid. I'm going to hand over to Elise.
This is your chance for chocolate. Are we up for it? Okay, if you're able, stand up. If not, don't worry, you can still take part. But if you can, please do stand. There is going to be one winner only for a Cadbury's Dairy Milk and Mini Oreo Easter egg. Come on, everybody. I know you feel tired, Jamie. Not had enough sleep, but you can stand up, can't you? Come on. Okay, straightforward game of heads or tails. I'll toss the coin, but before I toss the coin, you've got to choose whether you think it's going to be heads, so you put your hand on your head, or tails, put your hand on your bottoms. Okay? Happy? All right, choose now. 3, 2, 1. Okay, no changing. And hopefully I can catch this. All right. It's heads. So if you have your hands in your head, stay standing. You're still in the game, or stay in the game if you didn't manage to stand but you got it right. Well done, okay? Choose now, heads or tails. 3, 2, 1. No changing, Adam Larner. Tails. Hands up if you're still in. Brilliant, okay. Choose now, heads or tails. 3, 2, 1. Extra twist, it's a tail. Okay, you still in, Luca? Good job. Okay, choose. 3, 2, 1. Tails again. I think we need you out the front. Who have we got left? Do you want to come out? Come on, you two. Anyone else still in? Luca, come on out. Anyone else not willing to admit they're still in? It's all about chocolate, after all. Right, come on then, you three. This could be the final. Maybe one more round after this. Right, choose carefully. What do you think it's going to be? This coin may be biased. Shall we have a math lesson? Okay, choose. Heads or tails? Heads. We have a winner! Well done. Okay. There you go. Well done. Thank you so much. Now, Easter's not really all about chocolate, is it? And actually, the first real thing in our passage that we were looking at today is real grief, real sadness. Now, we've all had to live through disappointments in life, and maybe you're feeling the pang of disappointment right now because that Easter egg isn't yours. That's quite a small disappointment, though, relatively. I'm sure you'll have forgotten about it by tomorrow, or at least by the next day. But other disappointments in life are huge, aren't they? And when we read Mark's story of how Jesus died, we begin to see how sad the disciples must have been. They had seen their hero. They'd lived with their hero. They had high hopes for their hero. And this man had been beaten, he'd been mocked, and he eventually died on that Friday. And just before the day ended, the women saw the body being taken down from the cross, being wrapped up, being taken off to Joseph's tomb, and they saw where it was laid. And Mark tells us that they would have been heartbroken. Dan.
But you know, this is what happened on the first Easter morning, the Sunday after Jesus was killed on the cross. And I want us to look at Mark 16 again, verses 1 to 3. Have your Bibles open, if you can. And we're just going to read verses 1 to 3 again. And it says this. It says, "When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James and Salome, brought spices so that they might go to anoint Jesus' body. Very early on the first day of the week, just after sunrise, they were on their way to the tomb. And they asked each other, 'Who will roll the stone away from the entrance of the tomb?'" You see, Mark's story, it tells us that the women, they were really, really sad. So sad, in fact, that they realised that what they were doing, well, it was a bit silly. You see, they suddenly realised that they weren't going to be able to get to Jesus' body. They weren't going to be able to add the spices to take away the smell. That's why they ask each other, who is going to roll the stone away? But, you know, I think it's their sadness that makes them carry on. They just hope that when they get there, something is going to work out for them. And as you're reading this, do you get the realness of this part of the story? Mark's telling us how it really was. He's not making this up, because actually to make something up, it could probably make more sense. His account tells us that these women were genuinely upset. They thought that what happened to Jesus 3 days before on that cross, that would be the end of the matter. There was genuinely no expectation to find the tomb deserted. There was no expectation to find this tombstone rolled away. Their grief was real. They were expecting to find a dead body. Their grief was so real, we find, that even their actions didn't make sense.
So we saw the first thing that Mark shows us is that there was authentic grief. There wasn't that expectation of, oh, everything's going according to plan, we'll just rock up at the tomb and it'll be empty. No, there was real grief at the loss of Jesus. But the second point that Mark makes is that the angel had a real message. That was the man in white at the tomb. He was the angel. He had a real message. Now, we're going to work out what this message, well, we know what the message is, but we're going to underline the fact that there was a real message by an Easter hunt, Easter egg hunt. Okay? So, boys and girls, actually everybody here, under a certain number of chairs here, we've strapped an Easter egg, sellotaped an Easter egg to your chair. So if you could just reach under and see. If you find an Easter egg, could you give it to someone who might be more willing than yourself to come up here and keep it? In other words, someone under the age of about 10, that's really good. So look around for an Easter egg. Bring it up. There you go.
Well, there we go. We got there. But this is the shock of the story.
this is the shock. You see, as the women were discussing what to do with the stone, well, when they get there, when they arrive at the tomb, they find the place completely deserted. None of the Roman guards that were there, and that stone that they thought would be in place, well, they find that it's been rolled away. But as they go into this empty tomb, well, they actually find that there's someone there. Not Jesus, but an angel. And they were alarmed. And this angel, he turns to them and he delivers a real message. A message of the most amazing news you can imagine. Awesome news, great news, good news. And this is what he says, verse 6 of Mark 16. "Don't be alarmed," he said. "You are looking for Jesus the Nazarene who was crucified." Now, when you look at that message that the angel says, well, he has to deliver his message in almost two stages. Firstly, he has to repeat himself three times just to make sure that they were talking about the same person. He's underlining that. He says, "You are looking for Jesus, the Nazarene, who was crucified." You know, it's like talking to a bunch of preschoolers. "Yes," the angel says. Yes, he's aware that they are looking for the body that should have been right here. And yes, they were in the right place. And yes, under normal circumstances from a Roman crucifixion, the body would still be there. But the angel delivers this good news that he is not there.
So the angel says, hold up your words again. Let's hear it for everybody. "He has risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him." Let's hear it again. "He has risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him." And the angel went on, not just to say that, but gave them specific instructions as to where they would find Jesus. He said in verse 7, "Go tell his disciples and Peter, he's going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you."
Now here's the thing about this. This angel is the first person to share the good news. And it's a real message of great joy. And it's repeated three times. Firstly, he has risen, like he said he would. Secondly, the angel says he's mobile. So he's not here. He's not actually here. He's alive and kicking and walking around. And thirdly, just to underline the glorious events and the reality of these two facts, he says the tomb is totally empty. And they're invited. Come on, have a look at where he should have been. And ever since that first day of Easter, Christians have celebrated this real message. And we've celebrated it this morning because the resurrection is the single biggest event in Christian history. Because in rising from the dead, Jesus proved that he has authority over death and sin and authority to give all who believe in him eternal life. It's a great opportunity now, therefore, to respond in song, to sing about this great morning. And we're going to stand and sing together. See, what a morning. And as we do so, we're going to take up our offering for the Serbian Bible School. Let's stand and sing, "See, what a morning." Boys and girls, you can keep your Easter eggs and you can go and have a sit down as well. Brilliant. So these first two things we've seen are the real grief of the women as they went up to that tomb. And the real message that the angel gave them. But the last thing that Mark wants us to know is that at first, when the disciples heard about it, they felt real disbelief.
Now I want us to look, I think it's the last verse, verse 8 of Mark 16 and his account. And let's read it again. It says, "Trembling and bewildered, the woman went out and fled from the tomb. They said nothing to anyone because they were afraid." You see, these women, they don't leave the tomb all happy and satisfied that they know what has happened.
That will come later as we find out. But they leave bewildered. They leave afraid. They flee from the scene. And you know, it's a reaction to something that they didn't expect at all. They really, really didn't believe all that they had just witnessed. And you see, we have to remember that these women, that they're not going down to the tomb just to check that everything in the resurrection plan is going according to schedule. They were expecting to see a dead body. And so when they find out that he's not there, well, they flee in fear. They flee in hopelessness. They were confused and scared. Do you know, it tells us, I think, that, well, Mark, he's not trying to manipulate the facts here. He doesn't try to give this story a positive reading with this reaction. No. He ends his book by telling us the truth as it happened. The woman went away from the tomb not believing what they had just seen. Not believing in spite of what the angel had said. Now, I don't know if you've come here this morning and maybe you're unconvinced by Jesus' resurrection. Well, do you know, I hope this morning that you've been able to see from this account all the evidence that adds up how genuine this story is. The body of Jesus was not in that tomb. The women did see an angel, and this angel announced awesome news, great news, that Jesus has been raised to life. And well, their reaction was to run in fear, confusion, unbelief. But the story, the account, is genuine. He is risen.
It might be this morning you're wondering, what do all these real things point to? It might be that you've been impressed by the realness of the story, the real grief, the real message, the real disbelief even. The question is, what does it teach us? Well, I think the most brilliant thing about this account is its realness. There are loads of loose ends. You don't start a religion with disbelief, do you? And yet that's exactly what Mark does. Actually, comically, it's so wrong that about 200 years later, someone decided to add the rest of the book of Mark. So verses 9 to 16 are a 200-year-old add-on. And it's kind of like, let me just jazz this up a bit, because it just doesn't feel right to finish on women fleeing in trembling and bewilderedness. Just didn't feel right to them. They had to add it on. But those jazzy verses misses the point. They really do. Mark finishes there exactly because it's so real. Exactly because this is how true faith begins. Because those women went from there in disbelief, yes. But then Jesus appeared to them again and again and again and again. Actually, he appeared to a crowd of about 500 of them at one point. That's over twice the number of people in this room, all at the same time. And as Jesus began to appear, the real facts began to hit them. That Jesus is alive. Which means his death was real as well. And if Jesus is alive and his death was real, then what he said he would do has been done. He is the risen Lord Jesus. He is the one who has conquered death. But you know, all this messiness tells us also that that's what a relationship with the true God is all about. You know, some religions will say, do X, Y, and Z, and say this special formula, and you're in. Christianity doesn't do that. It says, here's a real account. With all its messiness, with all its facts that don't seem to make sense, but they point to a real event. They point to real people getting to know the real God. And every Christian will share that, will tell you that is their experience. At first, we start with disbelief. I don't really believe that Jesus is God. I don't really believe that Jesus is a savior. But as we look at the facts, as we look at his death, what he accomplished on the cross, as we look at his resurrection, what he has proved in rising from the dead, actually, our faith, our trust begins to change. Our lives begin to change around, and our lives begin to be built on these things, that Jesus did die to take away our sin. He did rise again so that we might have an eternal relationship with God. And what we're told from the rest of the accounts of Jesus' life is that Jesus doesn't leave us on our own. He sends the Holy Spirit so that when we trust in Jesus, when we trust that he died and rose again and is our God, he gives us the Holy Spirit. And he makes us alive spiritually. He makes us alive to God and to the hope of eternal life. And each of us will tell you how we came to that conclusion. Each of us has a different story. We've not all kind of signed up to the same rules and regulations and stamped the same book and said the same words. We have our own personal story that begins with disbelief and ends with trust and knowledge that Jesus is alive. And I think it would be criminal, actually, if I didn't finish by offering all of those of us here who don't know Jesus personally, like these women came to know, like we have come to know, to do one of two things. There's a little book called Crossover on the welcome desk. Do grab one of those. It just explains a bit more about the death and resurrection of Jesus. Or if you'd like to, have a tea and coffee thrown in, we've got a Christianity Explored course starting in June. Normally we have a meal with it, but for a lot of reasons, we're just going to do tea and coffee. That's okay. It's decent coffee, I promise. And this course is really an opportunity for yourself to examine the book of Mark, to go through it and say, well, hang on, I want to have a look at this. I want to check it out. I want to ask questions that I've always wanted to ask. And I can walk away at any time. I can get to know, though, the person of Jesus for who he really is. Do grab one of these leaflets. They're also on the welcome desk, if you want. And then just email the church office and come on that course. We've had over 50 people this year come on Christianity Explore course. And it's just a really, really, really good time. I've done it all those three times that we've done it this year, and I love it. I really do love it, because it tells us about Jesus, and he is utterly, utterly amazing. So I hope, boys and girls, mums and dads, everybody here, I hope we've seen the realness of these events. Mark doesn't try and tie everything together beautifully, but actually that's our experience as we begin to know God, as we get to know him. Everything's not all beautifully tied together, step by step, but it's a growth in knowledge, a growth in relationship, a growth in love of God and what he has done for us. It's truly something to celebrate. It's truly something to trust in. The great message, he has risen. He is not here. He is alive. We're going to stand and sing a song that really celebrates the importance of the resurrection for the future as well. That the resurrection guarantees that we will one day meet Jesus face to face. And that's why we sing, "Let your kingdom come. Let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." Let's stand and sing your glorious cause. Let your kingdom come. Let your will be done. "Don't be alarmed," he said. "You are looking for Jesus the Nazarene who was crucified. He has risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him. But go, tell his disciples and Peter, he is going ahead of you into Galilee." Lord God, we celebrate this day. Our King has come. His kingdom is coming, and he will return with great power and great glory, because he is risen. We praise you for the work that he has done on the cross. We praise you for the work that he has done through his resurrection that gives us eternal life. Lord God, may we rejoice this morning. In the name of Jesus, amen.